Children are dismissed to children's church.
Glad you didn't forget.
I got you.
Maybe seated. Okay. Our scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Amy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today grateful that we can gather as friends and family and be reminded that we're not alone in this world. We're grateful that we can be encouraged as you speak to us, reminding us of who you are and whose we are. Father, thank you for your love for us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope that we have in you. Father, many of us come with many degrees of heaviness from the events of the past week. Many of us have heavy and discouraging aspects of our lives, difficulties in work, finances, health, family, relationships. Father, help us and encourage us in these areas. Heavenly Father, many of us are also sad about the events reported in the news over the last week. The school shooting in Minneapolis, the murder of Charlie Kirk, the stabbing of Irina Zarutska. These events, in addition to the continuing atrocities committed around the world, including Ukraine and Gaza, remind us of the brokenness and violence in our world, and we ask your comfort and your peace. Father, we grieve the violence of these events, and we pray for the families and friends of those impacted by these acts of violence. Father, we also grieve the countless acts of violence not covered by our news media. Acts of violence in our city, our country, and around the world. Acts that are no less tragic, though not given the same coverage. Violence done to hurting and marginalized groups, like our brothers and sisters of color, living in fear and discouragement in our nation. Father, we grieve these violent actions, and we also grieve the unkind, untrue, and divisive words that can also often give rise to these violent actions. Father, we grieve words that lack empathy and compassion towards others around us. We grieve the divisive and hurtful words of politicians and political pundits as they speak in ways that dehumanize people or people groups. Father, we grieve these actions and these words, and we ask that you would give us the wisdom, courage, love, compassion, and conviction to do better as your children. Give us the ability to reflect your love as your people. Give us the ability to speak in ways that are true and in ways that bring unity. Give us the ability to champion justice while also loving mercy. Give us the ability to speak and act in a way that reflects your love. Let your church be a city on a hill, showing our divided and violent world a different way. Father, let us show Jesus. Let us cling to Jesus. Let us love him and his gospel more. Let us see the importance of his person and his work. Help us to love him and to reflect him. Father, I close this prayer by praying the words attributed to St. Francis. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injustice, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not be so much seek to be consoled as to console others, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Amen. Family, how do you react when it seems like everything is falling apart? Like, how do you react when it seems like the events of the day represent an increased insecurity and instability? How do you react when the things that you've been taken for granted don't seem to be stable anymore? What do you do when you look around in the news or on social media and it seems like there is just anger and rage everywhere? What do you do? I remember as a child, I was in elementary school around the time that Hurricane Hugo hit. If you were alive that time, that name means something to you because you remember the devastation it was in North Carolina. And I remember, thankfully, we were protected in our home, but I remember how terrified I was with the wind and the way and the rain. And I knew what could happen, and I heard stories about what could happen. And as the hurricane was hitting our town, I remember just being terrified. And the only thing I wanted to do as a young child was sit in the arms of my parents. I wanted to cling to my mom. I wanted to cling to my dad. I remember sitting on the rocking chair, just terrified, my whole body tense as it was dark outside, even though it was the middle of the day. And I could hear the wind, and I could hear the rain beating as I would hear trees falling down around us. All I wanted to do was be with someone who would comfort me. Family, we live in a world where oftentimes certain things happen that can make us feel like we are in the middle of a hurricane. The things that have felt certain no longer seem certain. Financial instability, another story of injustice, violence, division. When people that we thought we had kind of commonality with and common ground, when they respond to events in very different ways than we do, and we're surprised and we feel isolated and we lose relationships. What happens? What do you do when everything falls apart? Well, the psalm today, Psalm 46, tells us exactly what to do. So if you've come looking for encouragement today, if you've come discouraged or worried or uncertain or even angry, this psalm is for you. Let me remind you today that when we open up our Bible, we aren't just hearing words on a page, but we are reading the very words of God spoken to you. God has a message for you, his child, today. And the message that comes through really clearly in Psalm 46 is this: the Lord is in charge. Even when our circumstances lead us to doubt that reality, even when our circumstances and news events make it seem like God is distant, like maybe he's taken the day off, family, he never is. He is always in control. Even when, and especially when, we can't see it with our eyes, we need eyes of faith to believe it. Our God is in control. Our Savior is on his throne, and the Holy Spirit is still at work in this world, at work in us, and at work in his church. Now, we're studying Psalm 46 today as a part of our one-month sermon series on rest. Last week, we preached out of Psalm 127, reminding us that we are called to rest and trust God, leaving him to do all the God-sized things that only he can do. Today, our focus is rest and refuge, resting in God when it feels like everything is falling apart. Now, today we're going to see two things, only two things, real simple sermon, as we study Psalm 46. First of all, we're going to see trouble, and secondly, we're going to see hope. Trouble and hope. Well, let's first see what Psalm 46 has to tell us about trouble in our world. Look at the first three verses that are on the screen. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved to the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains tremble at its swelling. You see, y'all, Psalm 46 is a song of defiant hope. It is a song of courage and comfort in the face of the world that is falling apart. I mean, look at the words that the psalmist used to speak of his circumstances. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Trouble. Like the psalmist here, he's not sitting, you know, kind of on the beach, enjoying the waves, chilling out, you know, nice cup of coffee. No, he looks out and all he sees is trouble. Verse 2. Though the earth give way and the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. This psalmist, it feels like his world is falling apart. All right? He looks at it, it says, it's like the earth's giving way. The mountains be moved to the heart of the sea. Things are so bad, it feels like the very foundations of earth are crumbling. Verse 3, even the waters bring terror. Have you ever thought about this? The bodies of water can either be one of the greatest sources of calm or the greatest sources of terror, right? Think about it. A calm body of water. A calm ocean lapping on the beach. Or a serene lake, right? Reflecting the sun on a warm summer day. Sitting on a dock or in a boat with little or no waves. Or the gentle current of a river. Peaceful flowing creek. Well, these are images that can bring calm and quiet to our minds and bodies. It can relax our body and help us to breathe deeply. Or these very same bodies of water can bring the opposite. In Psalm 46, there are no quiet waters. The waters are roaring and foaming. And again, the psalmist mentions the mountains. Now, if you're a person living in the ancient Near East, the mountains, among all the things in creation, represent strength and magnitude, right? Power and stability. Who can move the mountains? Nothing in all creation. But what if things are so bad that it literally feels like the mountains are swelling at the raging of the violent seas? Now, in all of these images, the psalmist shows creation reflecting trouble. We use the phrase, it feels like the world's falling apart. Right? Maybe you have used this phrase this past week. It was like the world is falling apart. That's what the psalmist means here. The psalmist wakes up and he sees things so bad that it feels like the world's falling apart. But it's not just creation that the psalmist cites. People are falling apart too. And again, if you've had access to any kind of social media this week, you may feel like that people are falling apart. Verse 6, the nations rage. That hits home close to me this week. I'm also old enough, not just to remember Hurricane Hugo, but to remember what happened immediately after 9/11. Some of you are old enough to remember that. I was in college, and I remember first the horror and the disbelief of these actions. And then immediately after that, it seemed like such a short time, very short time, our nation was able to put aside some of its differences for just a moment and to live united in a nation of grief. Maybe you remember that. When I look around today, that's not what I see. I see a nation enraged. Nation's rage. This is the trouble that the psalmist feels. Look at verse 6, continuing. The kingdoms totter. Now, I'm not here to fearmonger, only to say that as I'm listening to folks process events of the day, I hear people speaking fears. Fears like, where are we headed as a nation? Are we in decline? It seems that way sometimes, right? And I'm not a prophet, I'm not a political or sociological expert, but I think many of us can empathize with the psalmist here. And it feels like our kingdom, our empire, our country is tottering. There are wars in this verse, in this chapter spoken of, and weapons of war. Family, God is not surprised by the violence we see around us. Now, why are we talking about these things, right? God is honest about the troubles that we face, right? The point is, the psalmist is interested in telling you how bad things are at a time he's living, so you'll see just how amazing the peace of God is that cuts through tragedy. Let me say that again. The point is, the psalmist is interested in telling you how bad things are at the time that he's writing, so that you'll see just how amazing the peace of God is that cuts through tragedy. The psalmist tells you how bad things are, so you'll see how amazing God's peace is that cuts through. And y'all, family, this does not minimize suffering, grief, discouragement, or despair, right? Our God is honest about the kinds of trouble that you and I will experience in this life, right? Here are some scriptures that kind of help us to see that God is honest about trouble in this world. John 16, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus says. But take heart, I've overcome the world. Right? Jesus is promising his disciples, promising us, in this world, you're going to have trouble. 1 Peter 4, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Y'all, that's an important verse. That's an important verse. I think, particularly as Americans, some of whom have gotten used to being somewhat comfortable, and as we're entering a period of increased instability, financial, political instability, I think we need to remember that it's not strange or odd or wrong that bad things and struggles happen, right? Tim Keller, a former pastor, has gone to be with the Lord, he would say this: when trouble comes, if we're not expecting it, we have two sources of pain, if we're not expecting it, right? First of all, there's the pain that you feel from the trouble itself, right? Whatever it is that happened, you know, there's a suffering and a grief that comes from that. But then there's a double suffering if you don't expect it because it hits you out of the blue, right? So in addition to the actual pain from the event, you were also suffering an additional pain because you didn't see it coming. Jesus says to us, my family, I want you to see it coming. I want you to see it coming. 2 Corinthians 4, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, yes. Destroyed, no. God is telling us when we suffer, not if, when we suffer, when we encounter trouble, don't be surprised. Don't think that something is odd or wrong. We live in a broken world, and in a broken world, there will be trouble, right? When something goes wrong in your life, don't automatically assume that you've done something wrong or that God is punishing you. Did you hear me say that? When something goes wrong in your life, don't automatically assume that you've done something wrong or God's punishing you, right? In a broken world, we will have trouble. That's one of the reasons why it's important to talk about trouble. But there's another reason why it's important to talk about trouble. Many of our spiritual heroes persevered in times of great trouble. Many of our spiritual mothers and fathers of faith experienced great trouble, and yet they persevered because they knew God was with them. For example, the Apostle Paul. He lived, listen to this. You're complaining about our government? I'll join you. I'll be honest. I'll join you, right? But let's consider what some other of our fathers and mothers of the faith have had to experience, right? Apostle Paul lived in a government where the Emperor Nero hated Christians so much that he would routinely round up Christians and murder them. And then, listen to this, notoriously, he would light his garden at night in the palace with the flames of Christians that he burned at the stake. That's trouble. And yet Paul persevered because he knew God was with him. Or what about the African church father, St. Augustine? St. Augustine or Augustine ministered in such a way that he changed the world forever, and yet he lived at a time when the mighty Roman Empire was falling. He witnessed the Goth army sack the city of Rome, and the entire Roman Empire was in decay and disarray and fear. And yet, despite the fact that his world and the empire around him was falling, he persevered because he knew God was with him. You may or may not know the story of Betsy Stockton. In 1820s, Betsy was born enslaved in New England, and yet her faith in God and her confidence in God's presence enabled her to triumph in the midst of great trouble and injustice and oppression. And this confidence led her to become one of the first missionaries in America that they ever sent out. And she traveled a 5-month journey to Hawaii, and she helped found 300 schools with 8,000 students. Only later, as if that wasn't enough, to return to New England and help found the first Black Presbyterian church. Now, she knew all about trouble. She lived among it, and yet she persevered, knowing that God was with her. Dr. Martin Luther King ministered in a time of national and international turmoil, in the midst of a tidal wave of injustice and rising violence and hatred, mistreated, slandered, dehumanized, jailed, and ultimately killed for his ministry, and yet he persevered knowing that God was with him. Y'all, why do we talk about trouble? Why does God write to us about trouble? Because he wants us to know that trouble does not stop him, and it won't stop us if we keep our eyes on him. Of course, there's going to be trouble in this world. Of course, right? Of course, life is hard in this world. Of course. Of course, we have fears and anxieties in this world. Of course. Some of the greatest women and men of faith ever to have lived have faced troubles that you and I couldn't dream of, and yet they persevered in confidence in the Lord. Romans 12 tells us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, spiritual fathers and mothers in the faith. And being surrounded by these great cloud of witnesses, that is to encourage us to run the race before us. Others have done it before. You're not the first one to be afraid. You're not the first one to be angry. You're not the first one to feel insecure about the world around you. We have a great cloud of witnesses to encourage us, and we have one another to band together with, so that we can endure, so that we can thrive, so that we can continue to minister and persevere, because we have a great God who's so much greater than anything we are experiencing in this life. Trouble is around us. But what about hope in trouble? Hope. That's why the writer talks about trouble. So we'll take it seriously, but ultimately look past trouble to see hope. You see, family, when we face trouble in our lives, there are two dangers we got to avoid. We got to avoid both of them, right? On the one hand, there's the danger of minimizing trouble, pretending like it's not real, right? As we've seen so far in Psalm 46, God doesn't do that. He doesn't minimize trouble, and he doesn't ask us to. We have trouble in this life, and it's not honest to minimize trouble. But on the other hand, we can go the opposite extreme and we can get lost in trouble. We get stuck there in a hopeless mindset. And we have to avoid both. We have to avoid minimizing pain and trouble, but we also have to avoid getting stuck there. The Bible's way to avoid these two pitfalls. God's way is to be honest about trouble. In fact, God is often more honest about trouble than we are. He's very honest, but in his honesty about how big our problems is, he also communicates he's bigger. He's bigger. Let me give you an example. Imagine that you have two heavyweight fighters. One is undefeated. One is the champion, right? And this guy, you know, knocks people out first round all the time, right? He's one of the best fighters that you've ever seen. All right, the other guy, he's a novice. His record is something like, you know, 5-20, right? He just gets knocked out all the time, right? And both heavyweights, but very different types of fighters, right? Now, imagine I was to come to you and say, hey, I've got someone who can beat your champion, right? Now, if I'm talking to the person who's repping the novice fighter who's 5-20, and I was like, hey, I've got someone who can beat your champion, we're like, oh, okay. Okay, I mean, everyone can beat him, right? He's not that great of a fighter anyway, right? But imagine I come to the guy repping the heavyweight champion, undefeated, knocks guys out all the time in the first round, and I say, hey, I've got someone to beat your champion. Well, I'm saying something. I'm saying something. Here's what God does. He's like, hey, I'm going to be more honest about the trouble you face in your life than you ever will be. And I'm going to tell you just how bad it is so you know how powerful I am when I overwhelm the trouble that's there, right? That's what God does. That's what God does. And we see that in Psalm 46. He's honest about trouble, but in the midst of the worst trouble imaginable, God says, I am bigger. Now, before we get too far into the hope of Psalm 46, let me point out something here. In this psalm, we see, and we need both of these things, we see both present hope and we see future hope. Present hope and future hope. Right, like at times, the psalmist is talking about how the Lord is helping his people in the present moment. For example, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In this current moment, while things are going badly, the psalmist, even while Israel is suffering, God is present. God says, God is present. He is here to help them now. But there's also a future help. All right, the psalm is actually a psalm about the city of Zion, the city of God. Verse 4, there is a river that makes, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. Okay, so follow me here for a second. Don't get lost in this detail. Okay, when God talks about Zion or Mount Zion, they are both, in the Bible, they're both referring to the city of Jerusalem, and they're referring to the new heavens and the new earth, right? Basically, Jerusalem was meant to represent, like, the best of this life with God, which would be a taste to the real thing to come, right? At its best, the earthly city of Jerusalem was to be a place of peace and holiness and righteousness and justice and joy at its best. But if you read the history of Jerusalem, you know, it was never perfect, and even its imperfect blessings didn't last, right? And so when the Bible talks about Mount Zion, it's not referring to primarily a geographical space on a map today or back in the ancient times. It's actually more importantly talking about the heavenly Jerusalem, the new kingdom of God that will happen when Jesus returns to dwell with his people. All right? So Psalm 46 is all about a future hope. It's describing what the world will be like when Jesus returns. Right? Psalm 46, 4, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The dwelling place of God with man, the new heavens and the earth, will be a place of joy. It'll be a place of peace. We will not hear news reports. We will not have a response that divides us. There is no division in the kingdom of God. There is no slander in the kingdom of God. There's no dehumanization in the kingdom of God. We will all be made perfect, and we will dwell and love and care in unity together, worshiping our God. Make glad. God is in the midst of her. Verse 5, God is in the midst of the city. We are created to be with God. And yet, if I asked you on any given day, hey, how close do you feel to God? Many of you would say, I don't know. I don't know how close I feel to God. It's just been a hard week. I haven't prayed much. I don't know. I don't feel very close to God. In heaven, you will never feel that way. You will know that he is with you, that he is loving you, that he is there for you, that he's forgiven you, that he has a good plan and a purpose for you. You will never doubt this. She will not be moved, which means that the good times will never end. Y'all, I've said this before, you know, I wish I had a remote in life, and every once in a while, only rarely, I wish I could press pause on a moment. Oh, this is good. What I'm experiencing right now, this is good. Let's press pause. I want to hold this. I want to capture it. I want it to last forever. Family, that's what heaven will be like. will never be moved out of this paradise and joy and peace and hospitality and love and fellowship. You will be fully known, even as you know. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord. He has brought desolations of the earth, which you're like, well, why is that a good thing? Well, he is bringing all of the bad to an end. The wickedness, the unrighteousness, he's bringing to desolation, and he makes wars to cease at the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, he burns the chariots with fire. What's the point? Family, as God's children, we are called to look forward to the moment when Christ returns and makes all things new. We are to believe and to hold on with hope and to live in light of that belief. We are to taste it, to imagine it, and to remember that one day all sad things will come untrue. The Lord really is writing a good story, and he will bring it together to a good end. We need to hold on to future hope. And we need to see present hope. Not just future hope, but present hope. God will be with her when morning dawns, even in the midst of sadness, even in the midst of uncertainty. We have a present hope. God will help her when the morning is dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, but he utters his voice and the earth melts. You know, there's times, Psalm 2 says this, you know, what, you know, the kingdoms, the emperors, the presidents, They laugh in their arrogance and narcissism, right? They think that they've got everything planned out, right? But it says the Lord looks at them and he mocks them. He laughs because they are nothing in his sight. It's nothing. The Lord of hosts, verse 7, is with us. Hosts, this is the God of angel armies. The God of angel armies is with us. We have nothing to fear. In light of a week that was disastrous in violence and disunity, terrible takes all over social media, anger, frustration, discouragement, isolation, broken relationships, in the midst of all of this, the Lord of angel armies is with us, and that's what ultimately matters. And this invitation, come, behold the works of the Lord. If you're anything like me, what I need to do is to behold social media a little less. Put the phone down. Behold the works of the Lord. Get my mind right, focused on him. Get my mind right, reading his word. Get my mind right, rehearsing scripture. Get my mind right, talking to a Christian brother and sister and encouraging one another in the Lord. Behold the works of the Lord. Well, where does this leave us? How do we respond in trouble? Two things. One, there is a courageous confidence. Courageous confidence. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, I will not fear. You see the confidence there? Courageous confidence, defiant confidence. Confidence that says, let the world do its worst. Let the devil do his worst. Let everything fall apart. I will not fear because I know who God is. Do you see the defiance here? In the face of everything that should tell you the opposite, there is defiance, there's a confidence, there's a courage. I will not fear because I know who God is. There's a courageous confidence. And there's a confident rest. Verse 10. This is how it ends. In light of who God is, what are we to do? Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What do we do in light of who God is? What do we do in light of the fact that he is greater than any of our problems, as bad as those problems may be? We rest. Be still. and know that He is God. You're not, and you're not asked to be. You're just asked to be still and remember Him. Remember who we are. And remember that we're only children. And that the God of angel armies is someone we can trust. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for your power. Thank you that we have a refuge in you. And Father, as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper, I pray that you would minister to us, remind us that there is so much good to be found in this world because there is you to be found all over this world. Help us have eyes of faith to believe that you are doing a good work, that you're with us, and that you are on the throne reigning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The reality that God is our refuge really finds its culmination and its conclusion in the Lord's Supper. Because at this table, we're reminded of where our greatest trouble lies. We spent a lot of time talking today about trouble. In our context, political trouble, right? Division, violence, hatred, broken relationships, lots of trouble. And the list goes on, right? But the Bible also makes it clear that at the core, at the heart of everything, you want to get to the root of all of these things? The root of this is the sin that lies in our hearts. And God says, not only do I have a solution to the trouble out there in this world, but I have a solution to the trouble in here. And that's why I sent Jesus. Jesus lived the perfect life that you and I cannot live, and he died the sacrificial death that you and I would not want to die. And so Jesus went to hell on the cross, and he suffered the wrath of God so that there would be no more wrath left for you if you're a believer. It's the good news. No more anger left, no more wrath left, only love. That's what this is all about. Because before Jesus went to the cross, he gathered with his friends, his disciples, and he took the bread and he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup and said, "This is my blood of the covenant poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you." And in doing this, he gave two blessings to his followers, two blessings to us today. One, we have a reminder every week. Because you get distracted, I get distracted, I know. So every week we come together, we see the body and blood of Jesus Christ represented for us, reminding us that that's where our hope's found. It's a picture, it's a reminder for all of us forgetful folk. But it's also more than that. Because we believe that Jesus is spiritually present here in this sacrament. And if we come by faith, not only are we reminding our minds, but we are being nourished in our spirit. So if you're discouraged, if you're heavy today, if you're worried, if you're depressed, if you're struggling to feel near to God, come and experience Jesus as he is spiritually present in this meal. I'm going to pray and then give a couple final instructions. Father, I pray that you would take this meal and strengthen us. Help us to see you as our refuge. Help us to see Christ as our Savior. And help us to know that because of who he is, we have great hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The way we do this at our church is in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come whenever you're ready. And so you'll kind of filter down the aisles. And the package, one package, contains both elements. And so you take those packages. If you need gluten-free elements, they're in the smaller package here. You take this, return to your seat once everyone has had a return to their seats, partake together, and I'll... You're saying, "Yes, I believe." And I recognize that maybe not everyone does believe the words that we're talking about Jesus Christ today. Perhaps not everyone here is at the same place on their spiritual journey where they would say, "Yes, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus is my Savior." And if that's where you are spiritually today, then I want to say you are absolutely welcome to be here. I'm so glad that you are here. But I also want you to feel like you can be who you genuinely are in your conscience. And if you aren't a believer, then just remain sitting in your seats as the music's playing, as other folks are coming forward, because we don't want anyone to do anything that would go against their conscience. But if you are a believer in Jesus, if you know he's your Savior, come and experience him. Come as you are ready.
music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, said it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set us free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first said, oh, because he first loved me.
Jesus took the bread representing his body, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body. Let's eat together." Then he took the cup. So this is my blood of the covenant, poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you. Father, thank you so much that you are our refuge. You're our hope, you're our encouragement, you're our comforter, you're our Savior, you're our healer. Let us cling to you, and let us say with all that we are, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, brother. Hey, let me ask you. You know, we're in church, and sometimes there's audibles. You have veto power. You can shoot this down. You know, we sing a song often, "I'm so glad trouble don't last always." And I know we weren't prepared for that, and I know that we don't have the words for that. Is that doable right now or not? You have veto power, brother.
You're the boss, man. Y'all got trouble to last always on your thing? Huh?
Trouble don't last always. Do you have it? If you don't, then that would do.
Do y'all have it? I can send it to you. All right, let me give it to you right now. Okay, all right. We'll try to survive it then.
You got it?
Let's see. You got it, Jeremy? Yeah, it might be.
Oh, you're good.
Sorry. Let me I'm so glad. There
I'm
we
so
go.
I'm so glad.
Key we got it in, Jeremy? F sharp? All right. Let's give it, see if we got it. You can control the rhythm on this one then. Here we go. We can see if we got it.
All right, let's stay in.
Trouble don't last always. See if I can remember the words. It says, oh, may not come when you want him. Say, but he's always on time. Sing it quiet, say time. on time. When the storm clouds rise, that's it. You'll be a friend of mine, of mine. I'm so glad. Oh, trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. All right, I hear you singing, girls. Here we go. I'm so glad. Oh, trouble don't last always. Say, when storm clouds rise, I'll know he'll be there, be there. Take all your burdens to the Lord. He'll help you do best. Bear, do bear. I'm so glad. Say, trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always. Way, I'm so glad. Hey, said I thank you, Lord. Trouble don't last always. Hey, I'm so glad. Hey, yeah. Trouble don't last always. I'm saying I thank you, Lord. I'm so glad. Hey, trouble don't last always. Trouble don't last always.
That's good.
Okay.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the right key, but we survived.
You're awesome. You're awesome. I'll never do that to you again. But you're okay. Awesome, bro.
You acting like a black pastor.
We gonna pull out this hymn at 35.
I got you, bro. Anytime.
All right, I love you guys. The reality is, because of the Lord, our trouble won't last always. And let him speak to you one more word of comfort through this benediction. And hear the hope that he wants us, his children, to have because of who Jesus is, who God is. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. Go in peace. And remember, if you are in student ministries, we've got student ministries happening right now after party. Head into the fellowship hall. Go in peace, y'all. Thank you.